Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
This show is brought to you by Doc Sports Services. Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio, 96.9 FM and 1340 AM, is back today for the first show of the 2019 new year. Happy New Year to everyone out there with me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, joined as always by the one and only, my co-host, Ray Jones. Ray, what's up?
What's up, Kelsey? How you doing?
Good. Always good. Happy New Year. How's everything been?
Everything's doing well. You know, starting the new year off right. Messing up all my New Year's resolutions on the first day, but, you know, we got a long
already,
year.
Already, Ray.
Got a long year. So
we won't tell anybody except our listeners, so no one knows. No one knows. And also, back as always, we have our special sports analyst, two-time Super Bowl winning champion, Tyrone Poole. Tyrone, what's up with you?
Trying to work that thing. Work it. Hey, Happy New Year's, everybody. Let's start rolling with the new year, 2019.
Yes, big things coming. We are excited to get the show started. And also, we have a special guest joining us today. It is none other than Christian Okoye. Yes, that should ring bells to all the Kansas City Chiefs fans out there listening. And with that, it means it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation using hashtag ListenInWithKNN.
The Virginia State University Credit Union. You have all you need in the credit union. When working with the Virginia State University Credit Union, you can rest assured that you're doing business with people you know and people who know you. Membership is open to all Virginia State alumni, current students, and staff. It's easy to join. You can call them toll-free at 888-445-5105 or at 804-526-6708. You can click www.vsufcu.org or stop by. They're located at 3401 Boiso Street in Petersburg, Virginia. The Virginia State University Credit Union is federally insured by NCUA.
All right, for this week in sports history, I got a pretty decent, you know, stat that a lot of people forgot about, a historical moment in history. On January 7th, 1927, yes, 1927, the Harlem Globetrotters played their first ever game in Hickley, Illinois. I know a lot of people are excited about that. I know we all pretty much grew up watching the Harlem Globetrotters. So just think, they started back in 1927. They are definitely a legendary organization, legendary basketball team, and just a day that we all should remember and appreciate. So, Kelsey, you got any history dates for us?
I do. I'm always ready for a history lesson to give. And also, I chose January 7th, but I'm going to 1961. And since it's NFL playoff season already, I decided to choose the first NFL playoff bowl, the runner-up bowl, when Detroit beat Cleveland 17-16 out. I know that had to be a heartbreaker to all those out there on the Cleveland side of the ball. And now I will toss it to Tyrone to give us his history lesson.
Hey, I'm going to give everybody my history lesson, and my history lesson deals with our people. During the 6th Negro Leagues Baseball Museum Legacy Ceremonies in Kansas City, Bob Watson, the first black general manager in baseball history, received the Jackie Robinson Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow, truly amazing.
How about
truly
that?
Amazing.
Yes, amazing.
I love it. All great things happening in history that sports fans, you definitely should know about. We make sure people learn on this show. So thank you, Ray and Tyrone, for helping me teach some lessons today. All right, so now we're going to switch it over to sports around the nation. So much is going on. And fellas, of course, we have to talk NFL playoffs. Everyone is still talking about this past weekend. You pretty much can't get away with it. So before we get into conversation and debate, I just want to run through the scores. Of course, the Colts beat the Texans 21-7, Seahawks and Cowboys 22-24, Then the Chargers beat the Ravens 23-17, and the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the Bears in that heartbreaker 16-15. So I'm just going to put a question out there. A lot of people are still talking about young Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. Some thought he would be able to march them back, and then others are talking about his slow start. So I'll start with you, Tyrone, as someone who played the game. Are we being too harsh on Lamar Jackson? I mean, were people just too excited in Baltimore to really think that he might have got the Ravens to the promised land in the Super Bowl?
You know, that's a double sword type of question. Basically, when I say that, meaning he did what he was supposed to do during the regular season. Now, what people have to realize, that playoffs is like a different season. So teams are going to really spend more time looking at video, looking at film, breaking down their opponents. So I'm pretty sure the Chargers coming in, having played the Ravens prior, they really studied the film, and they only had to study the Baltimore Ravens, and I'm pretty sure they probably fixated their eyes on what the Ravens did with Lamar Jackson the first time they played, and they took that away and made him really have to play quarterback. So the other thing people have to understand, that playoff, the second season, the intensity is much higher. So from that standpoint, Lamar Jackson coming in, first time being a starter in the playoffs, a lot of pressure. So he himself probably could have put a little bit more pressure than was really needed at that time. So, but when you have an opponent that really studies your game, break you down, and guess what? Next season, that sophomore slump, they kind of call it, but this will be his second time starting. They're going to have a whole offseason to study his game. So Lamar's going to have to really do a great job of studying himself during the offseason, as well as the Ravens putting him in a greater position to be able to make plays and show more of his athletic ability at quarterback.
I agree. I'd love to see more Lamar Jackson. I like what I saw, but I think he only has room to grow. Just reminding the listeners out there, Lamar Jackson just had a birthday on January 7th where he turned 22 years old. And you talked about his great regular season, Tyrone, and you go back to his college days. He had 51 touchdowns in a college season. Youngest Heisman winner ever, 6-2 in the NFL as the 32nd pick. And he was the last rookie quarterback standing people, youngest playoff starter ever in NFL history. And on the other side of the ball, Ray, your guy, Phillip Rivers, he was looking pretty good. Do you think the Chargers will finally break the curse and maybe make it to the big bowl game?
Honestly, I want to see Phillip Rivers make it to the Super Bowl. My prediction, I want to see the Saints versus the Chargers. I don't know why. I feel like both of those guys, Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees, deserve to get, you know, another opportunity at a championship. Of course, Drew Brees has his ring. It's time for Phillip Rivers to get one. It's still going to be a tough road for them to get there, but I'm definitely rooting for them. I want to see them. And then Melvin Gordon, of course, he carried my fantasy football team for most of the season until those last couple games where he was injured. So I've been rooting for the Chargers. I've been secretly rooting for the Chargers all season anyway. But before we move on, I do want to go back to the Ravens. I do feel like there was a little fault in the Ravens offensive scheme. I understand Lamar Jackson was doing well running the ball earlier in the season, but it's just it's just weird to me. Gus Edwards only had 8 carries, and Kenneth Dixon only had 6 carries. I feel like the Ravens should have ran the ball a lot more, not just with Lamar Jackson, but with their actual running back. If you saw the game, the defense did a pretty good job containing the Chargers' offense. The Chargers really were only kicking field goals for the majority of the game, and the Ravens were right there, but they didn't necessarily establish a strong run game outside of just running Lamar Jackson. But, I mean, you know, a lot of people were also talking about maybe they should have went to Flacco. So I'm going to deflect it back to you since you are a resident Ravens fan. How did you feel about them not going back to Flacco? Do you feel as though they should have stuck with Lamar Jackson? What's your thoughts on that, Kelsey?
I'm glad you asked, Ray, because I had a lot of thoughts about this on Twitter. So Lamar, the offense, they had our number down. I'll be quite honest and frank with both of you guys. The offensive coordinator in Baltimore, Marty, you've got to go. I think the Chargers had every single play dialed up. It was predetermined. And I like Lamar Jackson, but he's too loose with the football. And honestly, I was one of those people calling for Flacco because I didn't think any part of the field was opening up. You're right. I think the running backs could have been used more, but at the same time, they didn't really have much success when we were using them. And if you guys saw who caught the touchdowns in Baltimore, Crabtree was doing it. But I think our receivers needed to get more. They wanted more. Tight ends were getting it done, but our wide receivers, they were there. But with Lamar Jackson, their production has continually decreased. So in the playoff game, I actually didn't want Flacco to go in for a couple of plays. And the Ravens are usually pretty good with doing trick plays. If you guys remember earlier in the season, they were doing this with Joe Flacco when he was a starter and bringing in Lamar Jackson. But I think Flacco could have opened up some space on the field. Now, do I think they would have won the game? Still no. The Ravens offense was not playing their best game. The defense kept them in the game. And that's the reason why I was even kind of close towards the end. But Ray, I will say I don't think the running game of the running backs or Lamar Jackson's running game for that fact was working, because the Chargers, the Chargers were all over it. So personally, I do think that the Ravens with Lamar Jackson were going to have to work on that arm, because we need those passing plays if Baltimore wants to get back to the Super Bowl.
Karen, and here's something you guys got to understand this too as well, and all of the listeners. Lamar is the future. He's the future. So just like anybody that starts off anything, you guys first started off the radio show, people first started a business, you're going to have failure. You're not going to please everybody. But the strategy is to build for the future. Lamar Jackson is the future. So we're going to ride this first playoff game. This is not going to be the last playoff game the Ravens are going to be in. So, yeah, people want to see the Ravens run the ball more. They should have done this. Everything is good when you're, you know, hindsight being 20/20. But you got to look at the future. You got to be a 360-degree thinker, not a 90-degree thinker. And they're thinking about the future. So whatever he does in this first playoff game, that probably won't be done again. He'll only get better. So the next time the Ravens get into the playoff, you're going to see more of what everybody is saying they should have done this playoff game or this season. You'll see it next season. As far as for Flacco, his days are done. So we now, if I'm the Ravens front office, we're trying to see how we can shop Flacco. We don't want to have no type of controversy. We don't want to let Flacco or Jackson have that type of division within the locker room. Jackson is our guy. So Flacco, hey, we're going to put you up for trade. I don't know, but usually in this type of business, it's revolving doors. There are a lot of teams out there that need quarterbacks, and Flacco still can play, just like John Harbaugh said. So it's always building towards the future. So if they can get draft picks in this year's draft for Flacco, that makes the Ravens even better. That gives them, if you want to see Lamar Jackson be a better quarterback, hey, surround him with better talent, hire, receivers. Nothing against Crabtree, but hey, he's been around for a while. So again, always got to think this is a business, whether it's no matter what type of sport it is, it's a business, and you always trying to build towards the future.
So what would be the price you'd be willing to pay to trade for Flacco? Like, what draft pick, and then what team do you think would be interested in moving for Flacco? What's the best fit for him?
Well, as far as, you know, he's a pocket quarterback. Okay, the thing about sports, you don't know. There are no definites. But we all know, and you hear John Harbaugh, you heard him in his interview. He said Flacco still can play. He's selling Flacco to the GMs and other coaches. And the thing that I've learned in this NFL that, for example, when I came out in the draft, my agent told me he never talked to the Carolina Panthers. I never talked to the Carolina Panthers. But on draft day, the Carolina Panthers moved up from 32 to 22 to pick me. So you don't know what's going to happen. Everybody is holding their cards close to their vest. But one thing we do know, Flacco still can play in this NFL. He's still a great quarterback who can throw the ball downfield and can make all the throws. So what they get for him depends on what the Ravens feel he's worth. I don't know that. I'm not in the front office. But I do know that he can still play, and I do know that there are teams out there that still need quarterbacks. And some of the starting quarterbacks they have on some of these teams should be backups. And Flacco could be a starter for some other team, but he will play again in the next season, 2019.
He will play again for sure. And for everyone in Baltimore, we know Joe Cool. We wish him the best. 11 years, a nice long time. Baltimore has supported Joe Flacco. But as you guys both have alluded to, Lamar Jackson is the future. And let me tell you, his teammates stand behind him. When Lamar Jackson was getting booed off the field, almost every Baltimore Ravens player after that game, they were ashamed and mad at the fans for doing that, because they had Lamar's back. And they wish the fans did too. Staying on football, we got to talk college football playoffs. It seems like the whole country is talking about it. The Roll Tide came to a roll stop as Clemson crushed them 44-16 on national television. Actually, I'll start with you, Ray, on this one. I feel like you were probably one of those people too that thought it was in the bag for Alabama. Were you at all surprised by this amazing feat by Clemson?
I was definitely surprised. I feel like Trevor Lawrence played one heck of a game. honestly, I really expected Tua. I don't know how to say his name correctly. I'm sorry. I apologize. Tua.
We'll just go by Tua.
Tua, yeah. I expected him Tua to outplay
him. Valola.
Yeah, there you go. What he said. I feel like Trevor Lawrence definitely played above expectation, and he outplayed Tua. So I'm excited to see both these young guys come back next year because, you know, they're both pretty young. So they're going to come back. I expect to be a rematch next season, Clemson versus Alabama getting in the championship.
Ah, yeah. How are your thoughts on that, Tyrone? Will we see a rematch of this game next season?
Well, I don't know if we'll see a rematch. I think there are some teams that are a few players away from competing. Again, if it's going down to the coaching, then yes, I think you have two great coaches who will actually have their teams prepared. But still, you got to the players have to go out there and play the game. And I feel like every year there's always a team that, you know, is a recruitment or a high school player away from taking it to the top, just like Clemson, Trevor Lawrence. He came in and really turned that offense around. So just like in any professional sport, any sport, if you get that one piece that can plug up that hole and stop the water from leaking, then you allow your bucket to fill up. So there are a few teams in college football that probably is saying, hey, we're going to have something to say about that, a la Ohio State. They may have something to say about that.
Yeah, but also sitting on Ohio State, Dwayne Haskins declaring for the NFL draft. So something we'll all have to keep an eye on. And Tyrone, I was hoping you were going to say my Maryland Terrapins. We've been waiting for something good to happen with our football program. But just to note for Maryland fans out there, there's some rumbling that Jalen Hurts might be looking at Maryland following Mike Locksley. So cross your fingers on that one. But college football playoffs, I mean, it's not much for me to add to what you guys have said. I think it was a shocker. But you know what? Clemson played a great game all around after they got that first interception on Tua. I felt like the game was going to change ties, and it definitely did. So what a great college football championship game. And congratulations to Clemson. Now, fellas, I know things are going to need us. So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we got to come back with our special guest, Christian Okoye. So stay tuned for more.
Okoye.
Jerry's Burger Spot has all your Friday night tailgating favorites. From their never-frozen burger, fresh-cut fries, ice cream, and milkshakes, Jerry's Burger Spot offers the best lunch. And if you desire a fresh, handmade burger or some delicious ice cream like Mom used to make, stop by Jerry's Burger Spot at 3815 Jefferson Park Road, Prince George, Virginia, right off 36 near Fort Lee. Jerry's Burger Spot. Remember when...
Welcome back to Listening with K&N, the sports sound of the DMV and beyond. I'm your co-host, Ray Jones, and we are super excited to welcome former All-Pro running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, Christian, the Nigerian Nightmare, Okoye. How you doing, sir?
Well, thank you, man. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
As you could tell, I'm a little excited to have you on the show, so I wanted to make sure I gave you the proper welcome. If you don't mind, I'll go through your quick highlights of your career. I see you're a two-time Pro Bowl. You made the All-Pro team. You were second team All-Pro in 91, AFC Offensive Player of the Year, and then you also led the league in rushing in 1989, and you're a member of the Kansas City Chiefs Hall of Fame. Did I leave out anything significant?
No, you're doing good.
All right.
You're doing good.
That's good, Ray. He gave you accolades.
I appreciate it.
That's right.
I had to make sure I did my research on that one. I wanted to make sure we gave you a proper introduction. All right, sir. So while we got you on the line, you want to give us a little bit more information about yourself? Just talk about your background a little bit, how you became the Nigerian Nightmare?
How I became the Nigerian Nightmare? Well, as you know, I'm from Nigeria. I grew up in Nigeria. I was born over there. I'd never actually been outside of Nigeria until I came to the U.S. I came out here right after high school. I attended Azusa Pacific University. They gave me a tuition scholarship, so I went out there. I had a friend of mine who was also the Nigerian track and field team with me. He came to Azusa Pacific before I did. He came in 81, and I came in 82. His name is Innocent Egunike. And so I came to Azusa to run track, not actually to run, but to throw discus and shot, which I did. And my goal was to make it to the 84 Olympics. So I worked extremely hard, making all my marks and ready to compete in the Olympics. And Nigeria didn't take me, so I was heavily disappointed. I decided to try football. And I jumped into football in 1984 and played over there for 2 years, and I was asked to go back and play my final year, the third year, which is actually my future in college. And I played my final year. After that, I was drafted by the Chiefs, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. And Christian, I mean, what I've been most impressed about, you talked about how you, like most people over here, didn't start playing football at a young age. I mean, your first time touching a football was in your 20s, and you went from that to being inducted into the Chiefs Hall of Fame in 2000. So just, I mean, what would you say to somebody out there that maybe is, like, scared to try a new sport just because they haven't ever done it before? But obviously, you're living testimony that, you know, you can do that and succeed. What advice would you give them?
Well, you know, I'm glad you asked the question, because I have a foundation for children, and I started working with children in 1990, and my message to them is that life is a choice. You have to decide whether to do something or not to do it. There's no gray area at all. There's no in-between. So when I started playing football, I decided to myself, if I'm going to play, my friends were telling me that I can, if I continue working hard, that I can make it into the NFL. I didn't believe it, but I took their word. I said to myself, I'm going to work extremely hard. If it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, I go back to, you know, being a teacher, whatever. So I worked extremely hard, and I was first invited to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and everything was working against me. I sprained my ankle on the first day. But wow. They kept me. They didn't send me home. I worked out for a week out there practicing, and then on game day, I scored 4 touchdowns, which is a record and still a record today.
Wow.
And the Chiefs came looking for me, and they drafted me in the second round. And even when they drafted me in the second round, I didn't know football at all. I was still a kid in football. So I had to continuously work hard. You know, I had to work twice as hard as anybody out there, my teammates, because they started playing football at a very young age. And, I didn't know the game, so I had to work extremely hard at learning the techniques and knowing exactly what to do, knowing where to be in particular plays, especially when they introduced new offenses. So I had to pay attention to all that stuff.
Right. And you said you were drafted in the second round. I mean, take us back to draft day. What was that feeling like?
Well, I've never seen draft day before, so people were just telling me, hey, you're going to be called or something. And my coach asked me to come to his house, so I was at his house, actually. And that's where they called me and told me they were going to draft me in the second round. So I was excited. I still didn't know. This whole journey, I didn't know what was going on, because I had never seen it before. It wasn't my world, you know. So I said, okay, second round, here I come. And they flew me to Kansas City, and I started working out with the team, and it was totally different world for me. But yeah. I dove into it, knowing that it's something that I had to do. I was introduced to this opportunity, and then I had to, you know, make use of it and see where it takes me. And it took me very far.
Yeah. I mean, as you said earlier, the rest is history. And before we go into talking playoffs, Christian, I mean, tell us some of your favorite memories from the game.
Well, my favorite memories, I will say it's not really football, because football took me on a journey, you know. Coming from a little Azusa Pacific, a division NAIA school, now NC2As, but when I played, it was NAIA, which is extremely small. Coming from there to the NFL, it was a huge journey, and the people that I've met and the experiences that I had, it's just a huge, huge thing. Even some of those experiences I'm still having today because of you know, football after retiring. So, but during my play, it was a totally different world because I played soccer growing up. I ran track, but football was it was a nightmare. So, running to it, and but I had to work at it. I had to extremely, you know, dedicate myself to working extremely hard.
Yeah. I'm just curious, Christian. I mean, since you are from Nigeria and you played football, obviously, I know football isn't as big in Africa. I mean, do you think that because of you playing the game that it'll kind of grow as a sport in Africa?
Well, soccer is the main sport all over the world.
Right.
You know, it's only in America that soccer takes a backseat to like basketball, baseball, and football, and even hockey sometimes. But soccer is huge outside of America. So, he can play football. People hear about it and kind of say, wow, you know, but they go back to soccer, you know?
Yeah.
if I played soccer, if it was soccer that I played, oh yeah, my name would be huge in Nigeria, but you know, not that they didn't know that I played football.
Yeah.
Because NFL films made a few documentaries about me, and which was shown in Nigeria, and my family told me they showed it a lot, so we got to see what football is like in Nigeria. And actually, not sure if you're going to ask me this, but because I played football, a lot of Nigerians started placing their kids in Pop Warner, and some of those kids that started playing in Pop Warner are now playing in the NFL, and some of them are retired. So there's a great number of Nigerians in football today because I played.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel good, of course, you know, because, you know, being the trailblazer, you know, I mean, it makes me feel really good because the culture is that football is bad. You know, people can get paralyzed. That's what my dad told me when I was starting. I told him, I said, I'm going to play football. He says, I read about that game. I don't think you should take part in it because it's extremely dangerous, he told me. And but I went behind his back and started playing, and I was doing well, you know.
Yeah.
And when I started doing well, it's when Nigerians that having an interest. I'm talking about Nigerians in this country, not in Nigeria. Those that were here, having families, having kids, they started placing their kids in Pop Warner, you know. And from there, you know,
Started
doing well.
And the rest is history. And I know Kansas City Chiefs fans are glad you made that decision to play. And, I mean, Ray and Tyrone, let's get into playoffs. Christian, we want to talk with you. Of course, the Kansas City Chiefs will take on the Indianapolis Colts in the divisional round this Saturday. Give us your outlook and thoughts on how this game will end. And, you know what, give us your prediction of the final score.
Well, prediction is kind of hard. I don't like doing predictions. But looking at the teams, I mean, I know we have the offense. We have the number one offense, and we can score points on anybody out there. The only thing that kind of scares me a little bit is our defense. You know, sometimes they come up to play, sometimes they don't. And hopefully, because we're playing at home, our defense will show up. And then going back, our running back, Ben Hunt, who was actually being a huge support to Mahomes, is no longer there. So we had to use running back by committee to support Mahomes. So that's what's going to happen this Saturday, is that we're going to utilize a few running backs in order to fulfill that position.
Yeah. Ray and Tyrone, what are your thoughts on the upcoming playoff game between the Chiefs and the Colts?
Tyrone, you want to go first?
Why don't you go, Ray? I want to touch bases with Christian on a couple of other, like, playing days questions. But
Okay. Yeah, let's go right ahead, Ray.
Oh, we can get right into it. My predictions don't mean much, so go ahead. I'd rather hear you former players go back and forth.
Come on, man. Your predictions mean a lot.
Well, exactly.
I think Kansas City is going
to
get it.
The Chiefs are going to win. That's what you need to say.
Oh, definitely. The Chiefs are going to win. The Chiefs are going to win. That's the best prediction I can give you. Mahomes is going to throw for 400 yards. Tyreek Hill is going to have 200 yards in the air. It's going to be a blowout, I think, honestly. I think Andrew Luck's going to run out this weekend. I don't mean to have a, be cliche about it, but I definitely feel like Kansas City is going to run all over them.
Wow. Well, we're about to lose all of our fans in Indy, thanks to Ray. nothing wrong with that. But I do think I love the momentum that the Chiefs have built. But at the same time, I think we're not going to be a blowout game. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. But I do think with all of just the great players the Chiefs have, I mean, it's pretty much hard to bet against them. So, Christian, I think you'll be smiling come the end of this Saturday. But we want to keep you happy. And I'm rooting for them. I mean, they have a nice young team, and I think a lot of us would love to see them. We'd love to see them in Atlanta, so I hope they get to go all the way. But I will let Tyrone take it now, and I'll let these two former players dish back and forth.
Yeah, well, I only got a couple of questions for Christian. Christian, my name is Tyrone Poole. Great to meet you. Honored to meet you. It's always good to... hear the perspective from those who laid the path for people like myself to come along. But one of the questions I want to throw out to you is, when I played John Madden, it was the game, and myself come from a small school, kind of like yourself, coming from Nigeria to the pros, from a small setting, so to speak, to the big stage, myself coming from a small HBCU college, and now I'm playing in the pros with these guys from Alabama and Georgia, USC, and all that. And when I first saw myself on John Madden and my name and, everything like that, it was like exciting. Now, I'm going to date you a little bit now, but everybody who knows about computerized football games, remember Tecmo Bowl, Super Bowl. What was it like? Yourself coming from Nigeria, then you coming over here, doing everything, which you probably all get acclimated to the culture. But to see your name, your two plays, and Barry Ward's two plays on Tecmo Bowl, what was it like? Did you play with yourself? Did you always play the Kansas City Chiefs when you played Tecmo Bowl, or... what was your feelings about that?
Man, I'll tell you, you wouldn't believe this if I tell you, but I never saw the game until about 2 years ago.
Wow.
Never played the game or saw it until about 2 years ago. People always, bringing the game to me to sign when I do make an appearance or something like that, but I never actually played it. They were doing a story on me. They brought the game to my office and hooked it up and say, hey, we want to film you playing the game. I said, wow, you got to teach me how to first. And it was interesting. I never saw it, but it was interesting. And it's so crazy that the game was so popular. And I think it's still popular till today with some folks, Yeah.
Yeah, that's wild. That's wild. Describe to the listeners and to us, what is Marty Bone?
Well, let me just explain it this way, okay? When Marty got hired in Kansas City, I was in California.
Marty, I'm sorry, for those who don't know, Marty was the head coach for the Kansas
City. Yes, Marty Schottenheimer was the head coach. He was hired from Cleveland. And when he first got hired at Kansas City Chiefs, I was sitting at home in California, and my phone rang, and I picked it up. It was Marty. He says, hey, Christian, I would like for you to come to Kansas City. We need to talk. I said, okay. I flew to Kansas City, went to his office. I sat down, and he says, are you in shape? I said, Coach, I'm always in shape. I'm a track guy. I always work out. He said, okay, I want to make sure, because we're going to run the ball, and we're going to run it a lot. So Marty Ball is just extremely running, just running the game and running the ball. And when you think we can't run the ball, we will run it again. And he used to tell me, Christian, when you get the ball, if you can't, if you don't find a hole, make one. You know, I mean, who says that? If you can't find a hole, make one. So that's muddy ball for you. And we run the ball. Sometimes I run the ball over 40 times in a game. You know, and people complain that I run the ball too much. And he pulled me aside one time and says, Christian, I've been getting letters and phone calls that you run the ball too much. Are you bothered by it? Are you okay? I said, Coach, I'm all right. I told him, I said, I can't go out there and line up as a receiver anywhere because I'm still lugging the can. So just hand me the ball and I'll run it. And he did.
Okay. Now, there's a picture, an image of you, Kansas City, and you had on the Freddy Krueger fingers. What's the story behind that?
Well, they started calling me the Nigerian Nightmare. So, the Kosakos brothers decided to make a Freddy Krueger out of me. They brought me to Seattle and in the studio, dressed me up as a Freddy Krueger guy. I took photos and made a poster out of it. So that poster sold like crazy, too.
Wow.
Yeah, but actually the name Nigerian Nightmare came out of in Kansas City practice. Irv Eatman was the guy who... during a film session, because at the time as a rookie, coaches would tell players, you know, go full speed or three-quarter speed or something like that so we can get a look or something. And the veterans, they don't listen. You know, they're just going slow and stuff. I was a rookie, so I was like, hey, you know, I was running full speed. If you are running slow, I'll knock you over. So he started calling me the Nigerian Nightmare at the time.
Were you a trash talker when you played? Like when you would run over someone, would you literally like look down on them and tell them, hey, it's going to be like this all day? Or were you that type of guy just
man, you don't understand, man. I didn't have time to do that. I was too tired to do any of that. You see, if you run the ball 35 to 40 times in a game, you'd be tired. Like, I didn't even have time to spike the ball after I scored a touchdown. You know? But it was fun. I loved it.
Well, my last question for you centers around your adjustment, life after football. It's a two-part question. How was your adjustment, life after football, after the 1992 season? It's totally different now. Guys have more options and things to do versus back in 1992. So what was your adjustment is the first question. The second question, I got to pull you on this one again. There was an NFL film you did with a little girl. Now, you got to say what you told her. Yeah, you laughing. See, I got you. But you got to tell her, you got to tell the listeners what you told her at the end of that taping.
All right. Oh, yeah, that was funny. That was when NFL films were trying to dabble into a TV series and making something, you know, getting into Hollywood. They're trying to anyway. But so they got me over there and they did a little skit with a little girl. I can't remember how the story went, but... it has something to do with the girl having a dream, and I was telling her she was having a nightmare. Her name was Stephanie. And what was the first question again? I've tried to remember.
Your life after football.
Well, the thing that I did was when I retired from football, I opened up a gym. I owned a gym, like a workout gym and stuff. I owned that. And then opened up another shop for sports equipment. So I had that for a few years. And other big stores were opening up around me. I had to close that up. And I bought a small company that sold nutritional products. And I did that for 14 years. I even did a magazine called Sport Image, for a few years. So I did a bit, but one thing that I stayed with for a long time and I'm still doing it is my foundation. I truly believe that when you start working with kids, and I love seeing kids just change. And the kids that I work with are inner city kids, kids that are in trouble, no parents from group homes and foster kids. We get them and then we work with them, try to show them the way, try to advise them to stay in school and get rid of their bad friends that are getting them into, you know, doing bad things. So we've been doing that since 1990 and still doing that. And lately, I have moved my foundation back to Nigeria to do the same thing with kids in Nigeria.
Opening up
a youth sports club in Nigeria. So I'm very excited about that. So I've stayed busy since retiring, and I'm still busy doing all that stuff. And but lately, one last thing. 14 years ago, I was inducted into Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. And when I came back to California, I started thinking, California didn't have a Sports Hall of Fame. Just to make sure, I did my research, but I didn't see one. So I started calling all the big names in California. Bill Walsh was alive at the time, and he was the first that I called. And I asked him, I said, if I start California Sports Hall of Fame, would you support? He said, sure, just let me know. I called John Wooden. But before I called John Wooden, I called Reggie Jackson. Eric Dickerson is a good friend of mine, so of course he supported. Magic Johnson and so on and so forth. So I called a bunch of people, and they all proved their support. So I started the California Sports Hall of Fame. And it's ongoing now and going well.
Wow, that's wonderful, wow. Christian.
Well, thank you. So, but Christian, you know, life is good now. I mean, I truly believe I'm a positive guy, and I like working with people, especially kids. So I continuously work with kids. I just signed up with the school district here in Ontario School District in California. To start going to assemblies and helping kids out. And one program that I want to instill in kids is trying to teach kids how to act. You know, when they start driving, how to act when they get stopped by the cops. You know, because we hear all these crazy stories that have been going on. When you get stopped on the road, you need to know how to act. Because sometimes those police officers who stopped you, they're scared themselves. You know, so you don't want to make any wrong moves. You need to just calm down and do exactly what he tells you to do. So we need to, we're going to be teaching that in schools too.
Wow, that's truly wonderful and very important, as you said, at the time that we live in right now.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to switch tides just a little bit, and I know Ray wants to go on and ask you about something that you're an advocate of, that I guess I would say is kind of controversial right now. So go ahead, Ray.
Well, yeah, I just wanted, I know you say you're doing a lot since you left the game, and I know a lot of former players deal with a lot of pain issues, but I've read online that you're a huge marijuana advocate. So if you could just talk about your journey transitioning from painkiller pills to using, you know, marijuana, and how do you feel about that going forward?
Well, shoot, I'm not shy to say it. I use it and it helps me out. It's not marijuana, actually. It's a CBD oil.
Okay.
CBD is cannabis. It doesn't have a THC in it, which is the agent that makes you, crazy or whatever. You can drop part of it. But CBD is what I'm using, and it helps me with pain, and it helps with anxiety and swelling. A lot of guys are taking it, and it's helping them. And I encourage a lot more people to try it, especially those that are retired, because NFL is not allowing it right now. But I work with a company called Canaway. They're based out of San Diego, and they work with a lot of athletes and helping them, sending products to them, and it's been working. I love it.
Yeah, so you can attest that it works. And like you said, you're not afraid. So, I mean, do you think it should be legalized all across the country then?
You know, people don't know this, but CBD oil is legal in most of the states.
Okay.
Probably in the
That's amazing. I was going to say, you're going to get people ordering it now, probably.
They can go to Kanaway.com, K-A-N-N-A-W-A-Y, Kanaway, and order it.
Wow. Well, that just says it. I mean, I like that you're not ashamed to say it, and, you know, you attest to it. And I think it's something that more and more and more people are getting behind, Christian. So I think it'll definitely be interesting to continue to follow that. And before I let you go, we have two more things to cover with you, Christian. One thing that I know you've probably been seeing, and I think all of us have been seeing, is this Alliance League. And then really all across the country, everyone's talking about a minor football league and developmental league for the NFL. So I just kind of want to get your thoughts and comments on what you think is the next step for the NFL to possibly get a minor league system.
You know, it's something that is needed. We talk about it, and we talk about it a lot. Basketball has a minor league, baseball has a minor league, hockey has a minor league, football doesn't. And I think it's due to the greediness of NFL owners. But they can develop minor league because you have a lot more kids coming out of college that are not going to the NFL. I mean, I'm talking about good players just not playing football anymore right after college.
Right.
They need somewhere to go play. So if they open a minor league system, I think a lot of kids, a lot of good players will still, you know, be able to go out and play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then NFL can pick players from there, too, when football being a very dear sport, they can always, dig their hands into minor league system and get players from there.
Yeah. I'm just curious. I mean, would you ever, if this were to go through and the NFL were to recognize them, would you ever want to get involved, whether it's coaching or becoming an owner or general manager? Like, would you ever want to get involved in such a system?
Well, I don't know if I can coach, you know. That's players that I've been coaching will know more football than I do. You know, so I will, but I can support. Anyway, if they need me, I will support, but I don't think I will be able to be coaching.
Yeah, just curious, because I know football fans would probably love to see you back at the game in any capacity. And, Christian, before we let you go, we have to have a little fun with you. So Ray is now going to take us into our This or That segment, where we're just going to have some fun and kind of see some of your preferences, if that's okay with you.
All right.
It's really quick.
Let's get it, Ray.
It's just 10 quick little responses. You pick an item, this one or that one, or just the opposite. Just, you know, at the towards the end of the season, we're going to tally up the numbers and see what people prefer. So I'm going to just run them off, and you just pick which one you prefer. All right, you ready to go?
Okay, you go. Call out items, and I'll just pick one?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
All right, so the first one is Five Guys or In-N-Out Burger?
In-N-Out.
Pizza Hut or Domino's?
Pizza Hut.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
Droid or iPhone?
iPhone.
Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix.
Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook.
Superman or Batman?
Superman.
DC Comics or Marvel?
Marvel.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
And this last one here separates a lot of homes, so we got to be careful with this one. Toilet paper over or under?
Over.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time, and I appreciate you playing along with us.
Yes, Christian, we appreciate having you on Listening with Kane, and we'll hope you won't be a stranger to the show. And we hope to have you back in the future in Go Chiefs this Saturday.
All right, Kelsey, just let me know.
All right, thanks so much, Christian, for your time. We appreciate it.
All right, God bless.
Welcome back to Listen In with Kanan, where we're now going to switch over to my Doing It Big in the DMV segment. Yes, you obviously know I'm from the DMV because I always have to show it love, where I have to talk about the Washington Wizards, where I'm not the happiest because we're all talking about John Wall and this surgery that he will be having. So if you haven't heard, Wizards point guard John Wall will be undergoing surgery on his left heel, which basically ends the 2018-2019 season, all right? When the team announced this,
basically they said he'll be seeing specialist Dr. Robert Anderson for this left heel injury. He's had the procedure in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now, some people are questioning the timing of this surgery. So I'm just curious, guys, without a John Wall leading a Washington Wizards team, and right now the Washington Wizards are sitting not where they want to be in the East, about that 11th seed. Let me start with you, Tyrone. I mean, do you think the Washington Wizards can get the job done without John Wall this season?
Well, again, that's like, can you make a chocolate cake without the chocolate? I think you can.
It'd be kind of hard.
Make the cake. There's going to be the taste of it, and what you're actually trying to do is not going to be exact. Of course, they still can win games, but I think they made it a little, it's going to be a little bit harder, because anytime you take away the actual key or the playmaker on your team, like John Wall, he's the guy that knows that offense. He's the guy that, can steal, it's just play defense in transition. So whenever you miss a key component like that, now you have to bring in other guys. It's that next guy up type of thing. And it's like whoever steps into that role, they're gonna have some big shoes to fill. So the other four guys, plus the guy that's stepping in to take over that role, or the point guard, he's going to have to help Washington make that chocolate cake, maybe with some generic chocolate, but we still trying to make a chocolate cake. So it's going to be
tough. It won't be the same, though, Tyrone, with the generic chocolate.
Exactly.
But
it won't
be the same. But I guess you're going to do what you got to do. But that being said, my good friend Christian Winfield of SB Nation actually said, Ray, the answer is the Wizards need to blow it up, and they're saying, let's find a new home for John Wall. Do you agree with that rationale?
Well, first, I want to piggyback on what Tyrone said with this chocolate cake. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know that the replacement, Thomas Satoransky, is good at making chocolate cake. I just got a feeling he might not be the best chocolate cake maker. I don't know why. And then even behind him, they got Chase and Randall. So it doesn't seem like that cake's going to be good at all. They got their backup point guards aren't doing well. They just got rid of Austin Rivers. They're really slim at point guard. It's definitely time to blow it up, but I don't think they're going to be able to move John Wall with him coming back from this injury. I honestly believe they may have shut him down because they realize this season isn't going anywhere. You know, you got Dwight Howard dealing with his injury. They just got Trevor Ariza. I know he's kind of a little upset for going to Washington now. He feels like he should have stayed with Phoenix Suns because he's in a similar situation now with a team that isn't going anywhere. Maybe he might try to orchestrate another trade out of there, depending on how that goes. But I think the Wizards definitely made a management decision that this one's, hey, let's shut down John Wall, try to get him healthy and just see what his market is for next year. They already got him on for a long contract, a high payroll, excuse me. It's pretty hard to move. So maybe by sitting out this year, we'll just chalk this one up and try to move him when he's healthy and when he gets his market back up. Because right now there was no market to trade him anyway. So it was kind of in a lose-lose situation. So why not at least improve our draft stock? Because our season wasn't going anywhere, and we weren't going to be able to move John Wall anyway. So at this point, they were kind of with their hands tied, honestly.
Yeah, it's just been tough. As we say in D.C., there's always next season. That's the point I'm at right now. Without John Wall, I'm not hopeful for the Washington Wizards. I hate being that, like, Debbie Downer, but I just got to be honest, people. A quick note before we move on, though, can my Kelsey's Do Good segment, where we honor people in the community doing good and athletes who are making a difference, because we all know they do not get enough credit. We will be bringing that back starting next show, so you guys will have to tune into that. But also, with the good comes the bad and the ugly. And I have to go to my Are You Serious Right Now segment, where Tyrone and Ray, everyone is talking about the next generation in basketball. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, I'm talking about Zion Williamson, who basically said that he wasn't rubbing salt in the womb. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, when he played his hometown team of Clemson, he did this 360-degree dunk that everyone in college basketball, and really the basketball world, is talking about. Vince Carter, you guys, gave him praise, one of the dunk masters. I'll start with you, Ray, on this one. Zion Williamson, I mean, is this the same Coach K that's coaching this guy, that's letting him be flashy and showing off? What do you think?
First of all, Kelsey, I'm going to be honest with you. I think you may be the first person I ever heard say 360-degree dunk. Usually people just say 360, so it kind of gave me a little chuckle when I heard you say the 300 part of it. But
I like full sentences, Ray.
I'm like, wait, you said the whole thing. That's kind of funny. But honestly, Coach K, he's been dealing with a lot of one-and-dones or younger players these last couple seasons. So I think he kind of used to it at this point. He understands that The players are going to play hard, but they're going to want to have fun at the same time. And I appreciate him allowing them to get out there, do what they do, have fun, and understand that it is still a game. You want to enjoy the game. As long as you're playing to your hardest and you're playing the way you're supposed to play, playing the way the game should be played, you can't really say anything bad about it. As far as, you know, Zion rubbing in against Clemson, the team that he actually committed to, I thought that was just part of the game. You know, you got to take the good with the bad. You guys should have did a better job of sealing him and keeping him home instead of letting him go all the way to Duke. So, you know, they got to just take that on the chin.
There you go.
And let me ask you, Tyrone, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give that dunk?
You know what? It's one of those, if you had a card to say 10 plus 1. So that's one of those
credit.
Dunks where, yeah, extra credit, exactly. you know, it just shows the mind that the athletic ability of today's athletes, you know, with social media, it's like it's all about, you know, let me show you what I can do. And whenever you get an athlete that can do a 360, it's like, you know, it's something amazing to see. It's just like Michael Jordan when he, you know, went from the free throw line. And then dunk the ball. You know, it takes a special athlete to do something like that, and it's just amazing. I wish I could do
it. We wish we all could. Then we might be teammates with Zion right now, doing some incredible things. I can't wait to see that fella in the NBA. I mean, he's already playing like an NBA star now. And staying in basketball, things are not so good on the coaching side for the Minnesota Timberwolves after they fired their head coach after a 22-point win over the Lakers. Yes, you're hearing me right. After a 22-point win, he got the axe. And so basically, everyone's talking about, I mean, what's happening, Ray, in Minnesota?
Honestly, I was definitely surprised by that. They blew out the Lakers. Granted, it was a beat-down Laker team. You know, LeBron is out, Rondo is out. So the team is dealing with a lot of injuries. But you would think that maybe, okay, there's something else going on behind closed doors. You know, you had the Jimmy Butler drama. There's been some rumblings that Cat is not really happy. Wiggins isn't happy. So it's just maybe he's mismanagement of the team. But you also got to think he's done a great job with the resurrection of Derrick Rose. So I really don't understand the move. And it's still early. They're fifth in the division. They still have a little bit of time to potentially make the playoffs. I feel like the move may have been premature. You know, a lot of the NBA season technically doesn't really start till after Christmas. They fired him a week after Christmas. They didn't give him much time. And they had actually won the last two games. So I think the move may have been a little premature. I would have at least waited till around All-Star break, see how the team is doing. If they're above 500, then maybe we'll stick around and see how the season ends. But the West is difficult, so you can't expect so much, especially when you lose a player of the caliber of Jimmy Butler at the beginning of your season. You have to expect some bumps and bruises along the way. But I feel like they should at least let him go through the All-Star break to see what happens.
Yeah, and he went through that whole Jimmy Butler saga, which I think he should also get some extra credit for because that was pure craziness. And Tyrone, your thoughts? I mean, was this the right move for Minnesota?
Yeah, well, you know, in this age of you got to do it now. You know, we've seen so many times where coaches have been fired and the team all of a sudden get ignited and they start winning. But in the situation here, when you got a coach that has been regarded as one of the best coaches in the NBA, you know, he's been regarded as a great defensive strategist. You've got guys that have played for him before, like Kevin Garnett, that says he's a worker. You know, he's the guy that Coach Tibbs loves his job. You know, he's passionate, and that's what you want. And then you have players that whoever he's coached, Coach Tibbs has coached, they have nothing but high regards for him. So myself being a player, that's the type of coach that I want. I want that type of coach that cares. I know that he brings his lunch pail like I bring my lunch pail, and it makes me want to play harder for them. So the Minnesota Timberwolves, you know, from that standpoint of passion, the connectivity of the players leaving it on the field, as they would say, leave it on the court, leave it on the track, whatever surface you're playing on, I think Minnesota missed out on this one here because sometimes passion is the thing that takes you to that championship.
Sometimes passion is the thing that takes you to the championship. You're already taking us to the next section, Tyrone, because if you guys can't tell already, Tyrone does motivational speaking, really speaking to really everyone, right, Tyrone, as a living now after life, after football. So now we're going to take you to
our Tyrone's motivational quote of the week. So go ahead, Tyrone, give us a lesson that we need to be focused on this week.
All right. Well, with Tyrone's motivational quote of the week, I'm going to focus in on Black Monday. Okay, we had all these NFL coaches being fired. Why is Monday directly following the last game of the NFL season each year is so important in the NFL? It is typically the day that most NFL teams fire their head coach and our coordinators, general managers, after a season of unfulfilled expectations. We look at Cincinnati. They parted ways with Marvin Lewis. We look at the Denver Broncos. They fired Vance Joseph. We look at the Arizona Cardinals. They fired Steve Wilks. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers fired Dirk Koetter. But even though they've been fired, my motivational quote for the coaches and everybody listening, as we look back on our lives, we realize that every time we thought we were being rejected from something good, we were actually being redirected to something better. So to all the coaches and all the listeners, but to the coaches, being fired, you will get hired again. So stay motivated, stay elevated, and stay with Tyrone Poole's quote of the week.
So well said, Tyrone. I needed you after some tough times in college. I mean, the motivation. Yeah. I feel like me and Ray were just sitting here like, all right, taking notes and listening and learning. Tyrone, thank you so much for your motivational quote of the week. I wish I could just drop the mic after that, but I do want to thank everyone for listening. That's a wrap for this edition of Listening with K&N. With me, your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson, joined as always by Ray Jones and Tyrone Poole. And to all the listeners, I hope you had fun, learned something, and of course, jumped in on the K&N bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at foxsports1340am.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes. Yes, we give love to Apple users and also Google Play, so shout out to Android users as well. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter. Until next week, enjoy the sports world, smile, and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.